We are very grateful to the Lord for what He does on many, not only here, but in all the world. Sad we are about everyone who without the Lord cross over into eternity. And I think here on the last Sunday in Zurich, when an Oma for her 19-year-old niece brought a prayer request to the front. Her niece was already in the coma at the age of 19, an incurable illness which shouldn't be mentioned by name. But this Oma was so desperate, and she asked, "Pray at least that she doesn't get lost, even though she's called home, that she is at least saved." And now came the call that she went home in peace. Also for this, we are grateful to God. I would have preferred we could have gone there to pray, but the mother, her own mother, did not allow it, that any believer would be allowed to come. And such things make us very sad, especially then when we think about eternity, where nothing, but really nothing, can be made good. As a person dies, so he will appear before the judgment seat. And as he lives, so he dies. He who lives without God dies without Him. One must not pursue this thought any further, because it is simply too terrible to think that people will be separated from God forever. We are also grateful to the Lord for all the wonderful testimonies, for what He is doing, for all those who are ready to receive the word. Then I have greetings to give from Romania, namely to everyone. Then I heard that quite a number want to be baptized biblically. Also for that, we are grateful to God. It reminds me of what our dear sister from the Saarland said this morning to me and to some others. She is sitting there on my left and on your right side, almost in the back. She has gray hair, and it's more than 30 years ago since she saw a mighty tree, like a tree of life, but it was fenced off, and then people of all colors came from all directions, climbed the fence, and each took a branch from that tree, and the branch became a flag, and somehow something unexplainable began. And I said, "For me it is clear, God calls from all tongues, peoples and nations, from all skin colors and races. We all have only one Creator, and that is the living God. And the living God has revealed Himself in Jesus Christ our Lord. And all who will ever be in glory are the fruit of what happened on Calvary. Not a sacred act, not some cleric who does something. That is not what matters. But what God did in Christ on Calvary. God was in Christ and reconciled the world to Himself. I would like to refer very briefly to what the hymn writer told us in the last words of hymn 307. I believe God. Do you notice the difference? Not I believe in God, I believe God. Abraham believed God, and that was counted to him for righteousness. Many believe in God, and also the devil and trembles. But God is looking for people who believe Him, who believe what He has said, who have reverence for His word, as it is written, who tremble at the thought of His word. I believe God. Is that your testimony and mine? Can we say from the heart, I believe God? And I would like to read Brother Branham's favorite scripture on this from the Gospel of John, chapter 5, verse 24. And you will find that here also it is not only written of faith, but it is important to believe God. Gospel of John, chapter 5, verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. I would like to read a few more scriptures, and then we need to briefly go into biblical baptism. Let's start with Acts, chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, perhaps thinking of the precious word we read here on Wednesday evening from the letter to the Romans. Perhaps I will read it in a moment too. Acts chapter 3 from verse 17. And now, brethren, I know that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he has so fulfilled.
Dass nämlich sein Gesalbter leiden werde. So tut.
Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. So far, this precious word of God. Our main concern here is always to prove with the scripture what God is doing. God does not do things according to the will of a man, not according to the program of an evangelist, not according to the decisions of a world council of churches. God does everything according to the counsel of His will, which He revealed to His servants and prophets. And blessed are the people who can bow and submit to it and accept it without any inner resistance and thank God for it from their heart. Peter states here that what happened then was a fulfillment of what God had foretold through the mouth of the prophets, namely that Christ must suffer. But not only that, more has been foretold, that he will be glorified and that his suffering and death will have been worthwhile, and that in the day which he has appointed, there will appear before his throne a multitude without spot and without wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb. We read here on Wednesday evening the word from Romans chapter 15, and I would like to highlight especially verse 4 and verse 4 to 6. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope.
Durch den Trost, den die Schriften gewähren, an der Hoffnung festhalten, der Gott.
Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded, one toward another, according to Christ Jesus.
Untereinander nach der Weise Christi Jesu zu besitzen.
That ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Rus read the wonderful word that men in all places should lift up holy hands without anger and without doubt. Their hands should be stretched up to God in heaven in the expectation that he will look down on us graciously and bless us from the riches of his grace. The comfort that the Scriptures grant, this is not a human comfort. It's not a temporary comfort. It is a divine, an abiding comfort. According to the Scripture, comfort ye my people. God has prepared a consolation for his people at the time of the fulfillment of Bible prophecy. At that time, Simon and others waited for the consolation of Israel, and they waited not in vain. God's hour has always come when what he promised came to pass. So it will be now. God is bound to his word. Our trouble is maybe that we become impatient because we don't know this time and hour. Therefore, here too is the exhortation. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded, one toward another, according to Christ Jesus. Ye have need of patience to obtain the promises of God. Let us go back to the beginning. I believe God. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. When the hour of the fulfillment of the promise came, then that what was promised to him And what he believed, he saw it fulfilled with his own eyes. The same will be with us, the seed of Abraham, in these days. First, we are carriers of the divine promises, and then we are carried over and led by these promises into the fulfillment. Then our heart rejoices, then our spirit jubilates in God our Savior for the grace that has been given to us. Let me read of Paul what he elaborated on this in Acts chapter 13. Acts 13 from verse 26, here it says, "Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God." Do you see what this is about? People who have no fear of God do not let God speak to them at all. And if he were to speak to them, they would be all set to contradict him. The fear of God is the beginning of divine wisdom. Divine grace and wisdom can only be manifested in us when we approach God in reverence and hear his word in the same way. Ye who fear God, not being afraid of him, but reverence before God. For to us the word of this salvation is sent. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. There was great horror, but what happened was according to the word. It was already written in the prophet Daniel 9:27, probably 25 to 27, that without any guilt being found in him, he was condemned. And Isaiah 53, he took the chastisement upon himself. He had to take the condemnation upon himself. We need not accuse Herod, nor Caiaphas, nor Pilate, nor the scribes. We may thank God that the scriptures were fulfilled and that we were redeemed, even though the way was so shameful, so thorny, yet it happened according to the word of God. As it is written here, the sentence of condemnation has been brought to fulfillment. Who was condemned? Who was separated from God? That was us. All humanity was born into this world separated from God. One had to come, in whom Satan, sin, and death had no right, who would suffer death for all and pull out the sting of death and conquer death, conquer hell, and give acquittal to those who were guilty, who saves the lost, forgives sinners their sins, and gives mercy before justice. Verse 28, and though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, do you see what it's all about? It had to happen that way. It was God's plan of salvation. We can't ask why and why not. We are so grateful to God that it happened, that Jesus Christ died as the Son of God to bring into being a new divine kindred, that is, to make us sons and daughters of God. Then it continues, they took him down from the cross and laid him in a sepulchre. But God raised him from the dead, and he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. When I recently read the Quran again, in which Jesus is mentioned so often, but then there is a passage that he did not die, but someone else, and that God took him to heaven without dying, and that God will send him again to clean up the earth before the establishment of his kingdom. If Jesus had gone to heaven without dying, without atoning for sin, without pulling out the sting of death, without conquering hell, then you and I would be going down to hell. It had to happen that way. And we are so grateful to God that there were true living witnesses. In the Old Testament, the Lord God, in the prophet Isaiah 43, ye are my witnesses, you are my servant, and I am your God, and beside me there is no Savior. Jesus said, ye are my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. There were living witnesses who saw the living Lord after his resurrection and ate and drank with him. May it please him, the risen victorious hero of Golgotha, to prepare a body for himself, to give a divine demonstration of his resurrection power to all those who deny him in this or that way. Do you think he can do it? He can do it. He is the same today as he was then. But you all know, it was this chapter that initiated the turning point from the Jews to the Gentiles. And Paul already felt that inwardly everything must have contracted within him. when he said here in verse 40, "Beware therefore, lest that come upon you, which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, ye despise us, and wander, and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you." It was written in the prophet Habakkuk, suddenly the prophetic word was in the heart of this apostle by divine inspiration, because the hour had struck for the word to go to the nations. I read from verse 46 in Acts 13. "Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing ye put it from you, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so has the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region." We see that everything has its place. Everything has its God-ordained time. And I would like to read the Bible scriptures that belong to this, one after the other, so that you can see in what way God had his way. First with Israel, and then with the nations. And when the time of the nations will be over, Luke 21, 24, or vice versa, and then the word from Romans, the 11th chapter, from verse 25, "The day is coming when God will turn again to his beloved people Israel, whom he has blinded for our sakes, and will open their eyes, so that they look upon him whom they have pierced." To show you this transition, let me go to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, verse 5 and 6. "These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." That was the first sending, but not the last. That was the beginning, not the continuation. That was true of that period. Listen to what our beloved Lord said in the Gospel of John, in chapter 10. John chapter 10, verse 14, I want to highlight for a very specific reason after reading verse 16. In verse 16 it says, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Not only sheep of Israel in the flock of God, I have other sheep who do not belong to this flock. I will call them or lead them, and they will hear my voice. Dear brother, dear sister, we have not heard the call of an evangelist or a preacher. We have heard the call of the Good Shepherd who laid down his life for his sheep. And I want to let you know now, by what you can see and test, if this is so. In verse 14 it says, I am the Good Shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. Amen. Amen. Oh, this is glory. This is wonderful. I know my sheep. Here is no full stop. There is a continuation, just a comma. And am known of mine. He who has been known by God will know God. Hallelujah. Praise and glory be to the living God. We are not here to practice religion. We are here in the presence of the living God to hear the truth, and the truth has set us free. Thus saith the Lord in his word, I am the Good Shepherd, and I know who are mine. Do you believe that he knows his own? Say amen. Do you also believe that his own know him? Yes, then it can only be concluded that whoever does not know him, whoever does not know who he is, will probably not have met him. They will have heard of him. I have heard of many politicians, but I don't know them. I know them only by hearsay. A meeting has not taken place. One has heard of many people. Many have heard about Jesus Christ, but have not had a personal encounter with him, have not experienced him in the power of his resurrection, have not received the revelation that he is not only Lamb of God. This he is. He is Lamb of God. He is High Priest. He is Advocate. He is Son of God. He is Son of Man. He is Son of David. He is King. He is Priest. He is Prophet. He is many things. But he is the Lord, and as Lord he is God, manifested in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. This even scholars must know, that the word Emmanuel in itself does not mean the Son of God with us, or the Spirit of God with us. The word Emmanuel actually means God with us. Hallelujah. In the Son, the Father has appeared to us. Do you all believe that? He knows his own, and his own know him. Beloved, somewhere there were people with a real reputation, rank and name, and then one had too much. And when his time came, he called out to the crowd, "I ask you, who has been called by God, by the title that have now been used at this performance?" And then, of course, no hand went up. And then he quoted the word, "He has called me by my name." Not by a title, by an award, by our name. He called you and me. He knows where we live, who we are, what we are. He knows everything. But he has had mercy on us. He has called us by our name. And we may also call him by name, calling on him by his name. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Above his name, he has made his word even more glorious, so that we don't stumble over it, but may be lifted up by it. Galatians chapter 3. Here we would have to read from verse 2, perhaps up to 9, but we still have to come to water baptism. Therefore, we only want to read everything that is necessary. Yes, maybe from 6, from 6 to 9. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, "In thee shall all nations be blessed." So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Brother Rus certainly did not know when he suggested the song that this text would be read. Most certainly not. I believe God. I believe God. Abraham served other gods on the other side of the river Euphrates. And suddenly, God called him by name. And that was the day when the walk with God began. Beloved, we too have walked our own ways, served other gods. Now we may serve the one true living God, beside whom there is no other. For thus it is written. But this one God has revealed himself in a wonderful way. Already in the Old Testament, there is a letter on my desk. May I kindly answer some questions, especially about the Godhead. There is also mention of the scripture that the Spirit of God hovered over the deep. The Spirit of God is as long as God was and will be as long as God is. For the Spirit of God is a part of God. And just as God then entered into a visible form as Lord, as Yahweh or Jehovah, whatever the people may call it, so he has revealed himself throughout the entire period of the Old Testament until the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God did not multiply. On the contrary, he remained what he was as far as his forms of manifestation are concerned. He did only one thing. He was in the body of immortality and came out of this immortal body into a mortal body, in this mortal body, subject to sin and the sentence of condemnation. In order to redeem us, he himself had to become mortal. He, the Lord, had to take on the form of a servant, not to be anything other than what he was. But it was necessary in order to bring sons and daughters of God into existence, that a begetting by the Spirit should be accomplished first, and that later other sons and daughters of God should be begotten by the Word and the Spirit, who will then be conformed to the image of the Son of God in the consummation. And when the consummation comes, he will submit to him who has subjected everything to him, and then God will be all in all. And we, as perfected sons and daughters of God with him, God will dwell over them. Yes, he will be their God, and they will be his people. Let us return here to this glorious word from Galatians chapter 3, verse 6. Even as Abraham believed God, what more can you and I do than believe God? Do you see why faith has been given such a high status? He who believes will not be put to shame. Abraham believed God, and he grew stronger and stronger. He did not stagger by the long waiting, by all the circumstances. He believed God, and that was accounted unto him for righteousness. Now it says here in verse 7, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. All nations include you and me. This term includes all nations. Let us not seek it in our own way, not in our own works. Let us believe God. And who believes God? We have already said this here. There are so many who say they believe in God, and there are those who accuse us, if we believe in Jesus Christ, that we do not then believe in the one true God. It is the other way around. Those who do not believe in Jesus Christ do not believe in the one true personal God. God is not just a force, not just something like the wind. God is a person, God can talk, God can walk, God can hear, God can write. Everything is clearly evidenced in the scriptures. And therefore, or because of this, since God has only once really revealed himself personally on earth, therefore the people, in order to be saved, they must believe in him in the way he has revealed himself for our salvation. And this revelation was not in Moses and not Elijah. To them came the word, but then came the day when the word, the whole word, became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Do you see what this is about? He who saw Moses, saw Moses. And whoever saw Abraham, saw Abraham. Whosoever saw John the Baptist, saw John the Baptist. And whoever saw Paul, saw Paul. But he who saw Jesus by revelation, saw the Lord of glory, the King of kings. He saw the scriptures as a living fulfillment before his eyes. Let us go on, namely to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Here I also want to read very briefly from verse 2. Ephesians chapter 3 from verse 2. If ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Is this not a glorious word? First our Lord said, go only to the lost sheep of Israel. Then suddenly he says, I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep. And then comes this mighty statement, I have other sheep that do not belong to this flock. I will lead them too, and they will hear my voice. And here we see the inclusion of the Gentile nations in the whole plan of salvation of our God. What else strikes us in verse 5? That it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets. It had been 400 years since the last prophet of the Old Testament, namely Malachi. And then it says in Hebrews chapter 1, God has spoken through the prophets in many ways. But at the end of days, he has spoken to us in his Son. And I took the liberty of saying, in the Son, he not only spoke, in the Son, he summarized everything he had spoken before and gave us the answer. Jesus was the center of the proclamation. He was the center of the proclamation. In him the Word became divine reality. But now, because of Hebrews 1, people say there is no longer a prophet, for God had spoken through them, and that is passé. So now we have things in our hands here. No, never before has God put his cause in human hands. Now you may say, who was Moses? Who was Abraham? Were they not men? Here we have to set something right. There is a great difference between men presuming to take the word into their hands and interpret and do with it what they will, and a holy call having gone forth from the mouth of the Lord God, a calling, a commission, and such a person does not rule and command with words. With such a person, God will do and rule according to his word here on earth. That is the great difference between a profession and between a calling and a connection with this calling to the development of the plan of salvation according to God's plan. Oh yes, there were people in the New Testament, men, there were apostles, there were prophets, there were shepherds and evangelists. It is even written in 1 Corinthians, in chapter 14, that prophets should speak two or three. Here I can read it to you. 1 Corinthians, chapter 14, verse 29. Let the prophets speak two or three, and let the other judge. And you all know this has nothing to do with prophecy, and I will also tell you why. This has to do with the exposition of the prophetic word. To eliminate every doubt, I will just have to read on. I'll start again with verse 29. Let the prophets speak two or three, and let the other judge. If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. For ye may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn, and all may be comforted. If someone were to prophesy, no one would be allowed to interrupt him, because that would be God speaking by direct inspiration. Here it is a matter of the prophetic counsel of God being set forth. And if someone speaks and he doesn't get to the core of this thing that is being expounded, then it could happen that someone else is sitting there who is suddenly given the revelation, the solution, the answer, the right word to biblically enlighten this context that is being dealt with, so that all receive instruction. Is that so? 100%. And I really wish that this time would return, that the Spirit of God could work so freely in our midst. Now, we have to, whether we like it or not, very briefly, we have to deal with the biblical baptism. And we will do that almost only by reading out scriptures from the Bible, because the word speaks for itself. God has not sent us to explain His word. He has sent us to preach the gospel and to teach all nations to keep what He has commanded us. Let the scholars explain as much and as long as they like. Here it is not explained. Here it is transfigured by the Spirit, namely what God has said in His word. And may the Lord be especially today in our beloved brothers and sisters who are newcomers. May He do in them what is written in Luke 24, and He opened their understanding for the Scriptures. Scripture can be preached and taught no matter how, unless the Lord opens our understanding and gives revelation. Otherwise, we cannot know God and what is written in the Holy Scriptures. In Matthew 28, it is similar to all the parables of our Lord. Here it says, in verse 19, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." Just as in all the parables, the Lord did not bring the matter itself to light in this context, namely the name in which to be baptized. It was to be revealed later. Here we are dealing with the last verses of the last chapter of the Gospel, the last commission. Explanations are not here. Now the time was to dawn when the Holy Spirit would reveal and transfigure. That is why Jesus said, "When the Spirit of truth has come, He will guide you into all truth. He will take it from mine and declare it to you and make it known to you." He took the words of our Lord, revealed them in their divine meaning, and then gave them to the disciples, especially to the apostles by grace. Here it only says that it shall be baptized in the name. The name itself is not mentioned here. We know that God is our Father in heaven, but we do not only address Him as Father. We are even to pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Yes, what is the name of the Father that is to be hallowed, into which it shall be baptized? You could read now in Hebrews, "This man of God that wrote it, blessed be he forever, for he has uttered the thoughts of God very mightily." Hebrews chapter 1, verse 4, it says, "Being made so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they." What was his name? He inherited it, just as you inherited the name of your father. Thus the Son has received the name as an inheritance. Sanctify them in your name. Or keep them in your name that you have given me. Is that true? 100% truth. In the book of Acts, and I ask you all to believe that here it was not Peter who gave his own teaching, but Almighty God, by the mouth appointed, by the lips that were anointed for that purpose, gave utterance to that which must be binding for the church of the living God while she is on earth. And here it is written, Acts chapter 2, from verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. You can read on if you like. Hear the response on the day of Pentecost was the founding of the church. The first people were converted. They received forgiveness of their sins through faith in Jesus Christ, in the accomplished work of redemption. They were justified by faith. But as a proof that they believe that their sins are forgiven, they should be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. Not that sins are forgiven through baptism. Water cannot forgive sins. The blood, the life that was in the blood, the blood flowed for our forgiveness. That is why Jesus said, The blood is shed for many, for the forgiveness of sins. It is the blood of the new covenant. Baptism can only be administered to those who believe from the heart in the redemption that took place on the cross of Calvary through the blood of the Lamb. We must emphasize this. We cannot simply say, Come now, all of you, and we will baptize you. We would be happy if instead of 3,000, there were 30, 40, 50. But we have to say it clearly in the presence of God, in responsibility before the Lord. Biblical baptism is a covenant of a good conscience with God. Biblical baptism is being buried with Jesus Christ into his death. One can only bury people who have died, who have come to an end with their own ways, who have entered the narrow way that leads to life, who have entered the narrow gate, who have received the assurance that they have become God's children, According to the scripture, His Spirit bears witness to our spirit that we have become children of God. We believe, beloved, that God has led you here to show you the right way, to make you see Golgotha in all its significance. Believe with all your heart. The blood of the Lamb has also reconciled you to God. Also, your guilt and sin have been atoned for and forgiven. Believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ took your place there and took all your guilt upon himself, and of course all our guilt, and carried it to the cross. He was made sin for us, so that we in him might become the righteousness of God. Whoever believes this from his heart is part of the promise that we have read from Galatians 3, that God already made the promise of salvation to Abraham in advance, that all nations would be justified by faith. But who and what is the object of this faith? Not by a faith that hangs in the air, not by faith in a thing that we think is right. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you and your house will be saved. Faith in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior is the prerequisite and the condition for also being able to believe that He has borne your sin, paid your debt, and accepted you. If you can believe this and have experienced it and have the certainty in your heart that you are the Lord's possession, you can be baptized today biblically in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, here it is written, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And here the name is revealed, Father, Lord, Son, Jesus, Christ, Anointed One, everything. Do you see the sequence? There are people who simply say, I baptize you in the name of Jesus. That's not right. There are some who say, I baptize you into the death of Christ. That is not right. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus Christ. It must be right from A to Z. God has overlooked the time of ignorance, but now He commands all in all places to repent, to turn to God, to submit to His will and word, and be baptized biblically in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm so grateful to my God that in my whole life I baptized probably several thousands. I have baptized 129 in one day. I have baptized many, many people in many countries, but I really have not baptized a single person in any other way than biblically in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Also for this grace given to me, I am grateful with all my heart and soul. The brethren can then continue to search the scriptures, and Brother Kerr, whom God has already used, he can read more scriptures to them. All that was necessary for this step now before you has been read and said. The rest is now with you and with God. You have to make the decision and take this step in faith. We only want to encourage you. Believe that what is written in the Bible is true. Believe that the teaching of the apostles is still valid today, and that the New Testament church wears a crown of 12 stars according to Revelation 12, and that means that it is crowned with the doctrine of the 12 apostles. May it now be in the end exactly as it was in the beginning. I would not have dared to make the above comment if I had not heard it from the mouth of Brother Branham in the series on the questions and answers on the Hebrew letters. God bless you. God bless us all by grace in the precious and holy name of Jesus. And you have noticed that I have now purposely said only Jesus. Woe to you if you make a form out of it now and suddenly start to pray, I pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Woe unto you if you do that. I can read to you from the Bible where it is only written, and the grace of Jesus be with you. Please discern what is necessary to a divine action due to the divine revelation according to the scripture, and make no form in prayer. Let the Spirit of God in prayer come to his right. I will read you the last verse from the New Testament so that you know that it's not written here in full. Revelation 22, verse 21. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. And I can give you enough other scriptures in the twinkling of an eye. Here it is in full. In Philippians, last chapter, last verse. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. And I will read you a little more so that you know what is written here. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship with the Holy Spirit be with you all. No form, no standard, no template, but the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And if you read the book of Acts carefully, then you also will notice that the apostles and the writers did not simply copy from one another, but as they were led by the Spirit, so they then said it. The one said, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. In the other scripture it says, in the name of the Lord. Did you notice that? All the differences. God did that on purpose. Only when it comes to the direct action, then we know that it has to be complete to be done correctly. But when it comes to prayer, I can say, I ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Then you can say, this I ask in the name of the Lord. Amen. There you can say, as you are led by the Spirit of God, please, never make a form and never a norm. Only when it comes to biblical things, then they have been established once and for all. and we have to abide by that. The grace of God be with us all. Amen. Let us stand up and sing together, and then we will pray, just as I am. While all heads are bowed, all eyes closed, all hearts open, let me give this call to all in this building, who wants to consecrate his life completely to the Lord today, and who is ready to go all the way with him, who is ready to take the step of biblical baptism in faith, not with hesitation, not in fear, not in doubt, but as it is written, if thou believest, then it may be done. And the man made the chariot stop, and they both got into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. If you believe, if you really believe in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, as your Redeemer and Savior, then raise your hand for a moment that we may pray for you. And especially in that case, if you are also willing, thank you. Also those who will then be baptized, would you raise your hands? Who would be baptized? God bless you. God bless you. I see 2-3 hands so far. Let us pray together now. Heavenly Father, you have heard and seen everything. Oh, we worship you, faithful God, and especially we pray for all who have been baptized unbiblically, that they may put out the old leaven and not think by themselves, after all, my baptism is valid, my baptism is legally valid. No, it is not, unless it was performed biblically, valid and legally binding before you, the living God, is only that which you have left as valid and legally binding for your church. Beloved Lord, to you we commit all and ask you, work yourself by the power of thy blood, of thy word and thy spirit. Worship and glory to your wonderful and holy name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.